If you freaking don't want to fight, then you freaking might as well stop right now. Are you going to stop fighting? You're behind in this fight. Damn it. Take this. You're behind in this fight. You're not listening. You got 12 minutes left. That's 4 rounds. What you do in the next 12 minutes, you're going to have to live with for the next 10, 20, 30, 40 years of your life. Your little son, he's not going to be told that his son beat Holyfield. He's going to be told he beat lost to a guy named Bolter. Who was brought up with no talent. You understand? Anything you feel, he's feeling the same if it works. You're just not digging. You hear me? And you can't talk about all the things you talk about if you don't perform. Now listen, do you want to live with that the rest of your life?
No.
Michael, it's going to happen. You got 12 minutes. You're behind. You understand? It's got to start here.
Yes, yes, we're back again. Knock 'em out the box, episode
33.
My name is Vinny Paz. I'm here with my co-host, with the co-most, the left, right, left kid, Mr. Brennan Long. What's the word, kid?
Yeah, I'm chilling, man. I'm videoless again.
Yeah, this guy. This can we get some hate mail? KEOTB boxing.
Yo, if anybody,
can we get some hate mail for no video?
Yeah, I've been getting hate mail. About my Australian accent.
The reason you guys aren't seeing little video clips on YouTube, little video clips on Twitter, on Instagram, Facebook, all of that is because of Brendan and only Brendan. This Irish Billy's got video. I got video. Pablo's got video. Pablo's got the equipment. This guy, he can't get off his wallet and get a computer that works. It's got two tin cans.
For real.
Yo, and broke, he didn't write what episode this was on here. 33. So again.
I did. What are you talking about?
Did not.
Look in the title.
The title isn't what I'm printing.
The title of the email clearly says episode 33.
Not my responsibility.
It is your responsibility that you can't read.
That's
you just blindly open emails like I don't even know what this is.
That's disrespectful. Yes, I do. That's pretty accurate to how I open up emails.
That's it. So that you don't look at the subject line.
I see KOTB and I see your name.
Episode 33.
I say it's from idiot
format.
From idiot, copy paste, bring it to Notepad, print that fucker out.
I print the full email.
You're over there trying to do this podcast on my first computer.
Fisher Price, my first computer.
Yeah, we're losing listeners by the minute because they can't see our
unbelievable
beautiful fach.
Nobody wants to see my fach. Anyway,
so listen,
I have been getting hate mail about my Australian accent.
As you should. It's horrible.
Straight away, I'm going to talk Australian the whole time.
That's terrible.
Australian for beer.
It's the worst.
Remember
it's
that
the
shit?
Worst.
Fish.
Yeah.
Gape. It was like a shark.
you're getting our Aussie contingency very angry. There's a lot of them.
Yeah, they were like, your accent's shit, mate.
Yeah.
And I was like, fuck you.
Well, look, I get the DMs. It says, you know, you're terrible.
I know. What do you mean, though?
I suggested last week or last episode.
Throw another shrimp on the bobby.
Right. That's perfect. That we start off with news and notes. So we're going to continue to do that unless you guys tell us you'd rather be at the end. I know for me, whatever I listen to, I like news.
Breaking news.
What's popping? So, look, it's solidified. Anthony Joshua Usyk 2, August 20th in Saudi.
Mm-hmm.
I added on to your notes. We knew Fury was playing games with his I'm retired.
Yes.
The winner of AJ and Usyk is going to fight Fury in December in Saudi.
In Saudi.
That is knock him out the box exclusive. Basically, all that's known now is Fury saying, if you offer me enough money, I'll come out to fight. What we're telling you is when and where.
Right. So Usyk and AJ, this is the beginning of a new multi-fight deal for Anthony Joshua with DAZN.
With DAZN.
It's $50 million, I heard, a piece because of the large site fee. So it's a 50-50 split. Both men will get quite a bit of money. Unfortunately, for DAZN subscribers such as myself, Vinny, and a lot of our loyal listeners, we will have to come out of our pockets because this will be DAZN PPV, as in DAZN pay-per-view, which Fast Eddie...
That handsome Fast Eddie...
Who can sing, by the way.
Yes, he can.
I don't know.
This motherfucker went into our pot. This was a Brooklyn... This was a 90s Brooklyn robbery.
Robbery.
This DAZN shit. We're paying for... First, it was, all right, everybody calm down. It's just for big Canelo fights. Now, in a couple months, we're going to be paying how much for this? Who, you know, $40.
They haven't announced it, right? They haven't announced it.
What did we pay? Did we ever say on air what we paid for Canelo Bivol? Because when you flat out pay now, right? Like via your cable network, what are we talking? 80, 90 clams for a pay-per-view now?
Yeah.
So I want to say we paid like 50 or 60.
50, but I think it was $49.
Yeah.
A lot of money. Considering you pay per
10,
month,
11, whatever a month.
Yeah.
So AJ and Usyk, August 20th. We're obviously going to do a full breakdown when that comes. I just wanted to add on to the Fury thing. Mm-hmm. You and I both believe he's not retired. So let's not even entertain that. I believe he's less likely to fight this winner if the winner is Usyk. That's an opinion.
Right. So
that's nothing I heard. You know what I mean?
Yeah. You like the way he, I think you had said a while back, either privately or on the show, that you felt like he was projecting a lot by calling him like a midget and saying he's too small and all this other stuff.
Correct.
Now, are we reading too deep?
Maybe.
I don't know. But I think that Fury is a nightmare as far as the way he's built for anybody, because he's so big. He's like an octopus. He wraps you up. He smothers you. I also think AJ could catch him because we've seen Fury go down, but I think that's less likely.
The thing is, you and I think Wilder stinks, but his punch is real, and he couldn't get Fury out of there. He knocked him down, what, three times total or four?
I don't remember.
Twice in the first fight.
I think two and two.
Two and two. Right. And none in the middle one where he just should have retired. Came back.
But I mean, I'm interested. And again, we'll do a full breakdown of the AJ Usyk fight and how these guys come out. Because Usyk had to walk through hell to win that fight. He took some punishment in the AJ fight.
Yeah. Our connect in Saudi, he and the prince just spoke to AJ one-on-one. For what it's worth, AJ gave all the right answers. Uh-huh. I know what that means. Should we get into that for what I'm saying? This is the hardest I've ever trained. Robert Garcia is teaching me this. I'm coming in to stop him. I'm coming in aggressive. I'm not going to try to box with this guy. I'm bigger. I'm stronger. Said all the right things, you know? Mm-hmm. Look, man, when you're talking about Usyk, there is never really going to be a question of who is the better fighter. The question is exactly what you said about Fury. When you're 6'9", 280,
right?
At what point is excuse me, the age-old adage of the good big guy beats the good smaller guy.
Yeah.
I mean, there's an argument to be made. Not an argument. Usyk is great.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know when you run into someone where it just stops mattering how good you are. You know what I mean? It just stops mattering. So that's something we'll discuss then, because we don't know who's going to win. You know,
no,
AJ,
it's fun.
AJ has two losses and he avenged them both. It happened to Lennox Lewis. Lennox was written off twice, not once, twice. After Alan McCall, he's a bum. I told you he was a bum with no jaw. Build it back up. Gets with Emmanuel Stewart. Goes over. He fights Rahman and Africa. He thinks it's a joke. He doesn't get acclimated to the weather. Rahman goes like a month or two ahead of time, trains there, gets acclimated.
Yeah, he was also shooting Ocean's 11 at the time.
Yeah.
He did the scene with Vlad.
Yeah, so when you take guys for granted, sometimes these things happen.
Sure,
I don't think in that division. I don't think he took Usyk for granted. I don't think he took Andy Ruiz for granted. Definitely
correct.
I think he was going to walk through him, and he didn't. You know, and Andy Ruiz has fast hands.
That was also the New York fight. Remember all the press he was doing?
Yeah,
that fight for the Ruiz fight.
Yeah. But no, I mean, you know, you can't take guys lightly, especially guys with fast hands that got some pop, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see what happens, and we'll break that fight down. So the Jermell Charlo, Tim Tszyu thing, I mean, what is going on there?
Okay, so Jermell Charlo, it doesn't have to go to purse bid. Jermell Charlo and Tim Tszyu came to terms on the money and split with the promoter, and now they're just trying to find a date. So that fight's going to happen. Tim Tszyu is Jermell Charlo's mandatory.
He has been for a couple years now.
For a couple of years, which we all know was a little ridiculous when he was first as mandatory. He was still in Australia a little too
green.
Yeah,
at that best time, his best win was probably an old Jeff Horn.
Right. So
mandatory.
Right. So here we go. I gotta give props to Jermell Charlo. For some odd reason, his fans and fans of PBC were saying that he should ignore these mandatories because it's Tim Tszyu and Sebastian Fundora are two mandatories for him at 54, which is why Showtime, PBC, his promotional outfit and the network he fights on, had those two gentlemen at the fight
together
with Brian Castaño, because they knew that one of the two guys would be his next fight. I think Charlo matches up really well with Tim Tszyu. Again, we'll get into that fight when it gets made. But as of now, barring injury, that fight will happen. So that's great. It's great for us.
It is. I think Tim Tszyu needs two more fights, but I'm with it. Because why would I complain now when I complain about other guys not fighting?
Right.
I can't do a whole episode about Tank Davis fighting no one and then defend Tim Tszyu if he does the same thing and says I'm not ready.
And I think it's great. Charlo who's in our pound for pound top 10.
Yeah.
Is continuing to separate himself from the rest of the pack by taking on even though if we're to pick now, I'd pick Charlo to win. This is still a great test. This is as Floyd would say, he's not ducking, he's not dodging.
He's also separating himself from the pack. The pack, including his brother.
Right. Yeah. The other top PBC guys, Jermell Charlo, is rising to the top as far as the rest of the guys and his stable mates. I as much as I criticize their sort of, their attitude to Charlo brothers, I really like Jermell the fighter.
So do I. So do I a lot.
He's fantastic.
He's good.
He's tough. He's aesthetically pleasing in the ring. And again, you look at it, starting to look at his resume. This is the makings of a Hall of Fame resume.
It's getting there.
He's close. So a couple more wins and this
fundamentally
guy,
more fundamentally sound that I wanted to give him credit for.
Yeah. He's good. I'd rather him not do interviews.
Yeah. He throws a beautiful one too.
Certainly does. Sets his feet real nice.
Yeah.
This is going to, I think, be a good fight. Or, as Andre Ward, when we talked about on here, we will see levels.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
We will either see that Tim Tszyu is better, I think, than me and you, who we both think is good.
Yeah.
If he does really well, he's better than we thought he is. And if Jermell Charlo does really well, we'll see the difference in levels and where Tszyu is and where
I will say this about this fight, without breaking it down in terms of what's going to happen. I will say this. It's one of those fights where if it's a good, sturdy fight, Tim Tszyu isn't really a loser if he loses.
Right. If he loses. Right.
You know,
right.
if he gets parked, then you're like, oh, man.
Yeah.
You know?
Yep. Yep.
this wasn't real. If this goes 12. You know,
12 tough rounds. Yeah.
Tough rounds. It's, you know, that's, he's young enough where that's not, you know, we talk about people protecting their O's and stuff like that. And it's like, the culture of boxing has changed. And sometimes it's go back, you know, back to the, you know,
it's silly that, you know, everyone at home now, as opposed to previous generations, plays Boxing Manager, right? Like, oh, yeah, why would he take this fight if it's not fuck? Because it's fucking, it's a good fight. I don't give a fuck what the fuck they're getting paid. I ain't getting paid. I'm paying for it. So if I'm paying for it, I want to see the best fucking fight.
Yeah.
You know, I get frustrated when fights don't get made and people defend.
And hey, look, before we go on,
I was going to say, and that segues into, but go ahead. I'm sorry, Vinny.
Well, no, I was just going to say, look, whoever wins, if they fight Fundora, I love that. So it's, I don't know why anyone wouldn't like this.
Right. So if Charlo wins this fight, then fights Fundora, if he can, you know, no weight issues, yada, 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 yada. Yeah. He had talked about moving up to middleweight, but now I think in his head, he's realizing, look, if I beat these two young guys that are my mandatories,
undefeated,
I will go down in history as one of the best 154 pounders, you know,
Absolutely. And, you know, you add another couple.
I hope he has that mentality. I really do. Because this is cool to watch.
I'm not sure.
This is cool to watch.
They're bozos as people, but he's a good fighter.
He's a good fighter, yeah.
Just a couple things before we talk about the reviews. We always butcher his name. You're the name butcher, but I'm going to butcher it. What's the Polish kid from Brooklyn? Adam what?
Karnacki.
Okay, you sure?
Yeah, people say Kaunaki, but it's, yeah, Adam, the kid from Greenpoint, heavyweight?
Yeah.
Adam Kaunatsky, yeah.
Okay, he's coming back after that beating he took on the Garcia. Danny Garcia is going to 54 to fight Benavidez, not David's little brother.
No, David's older brother.
Older brother.
Yeah.
On that card, just announced. Hey, I'm not mad at this for an opening bout. Gary Antoine Russell, Rances Bartholomew.
Okay. Tough
Cuban. I like that because I think Gary Antoine Russell has been fed.
His best win is Victor Postol.
An old
war-torn.
Yeah.
Literally, his family was in Ukraine at the beginning of the invasion.
Yes. Yes, the Bartholomew getting up there as well, can be chinny. Could be interesting.
Could be interesting.
You need look for Garcia Benavides. You need some stuff on that card.
I thought Danny Garcia was all but retired.
Yeah, 54, man.
I know he had said I want him.
Yeah, it's official. It's official.
Yeah, fight posters and everything.
Yeah, July. So that's our news and notes. Let's move on to the lightweight championship of the world for all the marbles. And let's talk about our predictions. Do you remember yours?
Yeah, I said UD.
I said Haney would outclass him, win 9 rounds, and get hosed. My prediction of what would happen was correct. Mm-hmm. My prediction of the cards was incorrect. Mm-hmm. I think you're nuts if you gave... I gave Kambosos a pity round because I tend to do that.
Yep.
In my heart, it was a shutout.
Yeah.
What about you? Did you score it? I scored it.
I think I may have given Kambosos like the third. I think landed like one big shot.
I think I gave him the second or third. I don't remember which one it was. It was the second or third.
Haney did what he had to do. Again, outclassed him. Stuck behind a jab. Stayed composed. Kambosos, I wasn't sure what he did with that game plan. I don't know if there was a game plan in place.
I think it goes back to before the Teo fight, where you and I said this is a guy struggled with Mickey Bay, struggled with Lee Selby. Mm-hmm. Teofimo is going to destroy him. I believe Teofimo should have destroyed him.
Yeah.
He had a tear in his esophagus.
All kinds of fucked up shit.
We're talking about these belts being cursed.
Yeah.
Lomachenko fights for the lineal ring belt with one arm.
Right.
Tao beats him. Then Tao fights this guy.
Gets COVID.
Gets a COVID.
8 million postponements.
And has a torn, what did I just say?
Esophagus.
A torn esophagus. Kambosos gets just embarrassed, in my opinion. If you know, people don't like that word in the sport, but I mean, he looked goofy. He looked like he didn't belong there. You brought up levels. This is that. Mm-hmm. And guess what? I don't think Haney's great. So it's double. I wanted to ask you a question.
Are you sure?
Is Devin Haney's road to being undisputed at 135 the easiest road to undisputed that you can remember in modern era? An email belt that he didn't win in the ring.
Mm-hmm.
Loma goes into war, mm-hmm. which was supposed to be the fight.
Yeah, Loma was supposed to get Kambosos.
So he has a trinket.
Haney stepped up.
He has the WBC trinket. Kambosos has everything else after beating a guy with a ripped esophagus that was still dealing with COVID and serious mental issues and home problems. And I still think he's nuttier than squirrel shit.
Yeah, I don't think we ever see that dude on top.
No, neither do
you
I.
You brought up Oliver McCall before?
I brought up Oliver McCall.
It's very, he's agreed. Also mentally ill. So I think Teofimo Lopez makes Oliver McCall, you know, look like a completely sane person.
So attack this question for me. Is this the easiest road ever to undisputed in any division? In all, I said the modern era. Okay, look, let me ease back on it. Let me change it for you. Because the modern era could be post Joe Louis. Let's right. say like from our era, which would be like, I don't mean our era of being adults, but like late
like
70s.
Watching boxing. And
like late 70s till now. You know what I mean?
Hmm.
I mean, you want to go from the era of Duran, Hagler, Hearns, Sugar Ray, like from then on.
I mean, who is Haney beating? Old Linares?
An old blown up Linares.
Mm-hmm.
Then
I'm gonna have to go to the.
Do you want me to do it?
The googly. Hold on. No, it's fine. Yeah, it's a tough question. Yeah, it's if not the easiest, you know, it's up there, especially with
if you're taking this long to answer it, then it's at least
Joseph Diaz,
there.
Jorge Linares,
JoJo Diaz is a Gamboa. Solid win. Oh, look. I talked about how I loved Gamboa. You're always like, bro, he was good, but he's been shot.
Been shot.
He was shot when he fought Devin, in accordance to what you're saying. I always find him to be dangerous because he can crack a little and he's so athletic.
Yeah, I'm trying to think.
Even though we both admit that he's 41 years old, and we both, so that means to us, we know he's 50.
Yeah, Abdullayev to me is his best win. Devin Haynes.
That's where Abdullayev?
Yeah, that's a solid win. And he stopped. Oh, how did that end? I forgot how that ended. Did he stop him?
Did he stop Zawar Abdullayev?
Yeah. I know they stopped it. Did he just beat the shit out of him?
How did that happen? It was in the fourth.
Yeah,
I don't remember.
I don't remember.
New York.
But that's his
remember.
Best. Yeah, that's his best one. Is it the easiest? Yeah. Sure. I'll bite. Yeah. But look,
yo, right in, guys. If we're wrong, that there's been an easier, because look, let's say you say Carlos Baldomir beating Zab. Zab was really good. Just a head case, and whatever happened that night, I don't know.
Yeah.
If you want to put that one there, and right in, hey. You know,
yeah, but I don't think was that for all the marbles.
Yes. Yes.
And then what, he had to vacate one to fight Floyd, because Floyd's never been undisputed. That was one of the things that was brought up the other day.
How did that happen? Did he
have to drop one?
Like, because he had a mandatory, you mean?
Yeah.
Look,
all right, so
Zab, he won the WBC and the Ring Magazine welterweight titles from
Zab.
From Zab. Then he fought Gaddy, which was
not
good.
It was that was a fun night.
Well, but when they talk about undisputed, I mean, to me, if you're the Ring guy, you're the guy. He lost the WBC, IBA, and Ring welterweight titles to Floyd.
To Floyd.
So IBA, I mean, that, is that even around anymore?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think so.
So the BC, IBA, so the IBF, the WBO, and
right, but this is, when they talk undisputed, we're talking about Charlo, you know, currently like all the best. But anyway, yes.
No, but what I'm saying is in 2006, when that happened, when you had the Ring Magazine, you were the guy to me.
Right.
Like you were the guy.
Okay.
Like a lot of I mean, there were just times, man.
I give props. More for the adversity he dealt with leading up to this fight. Last minute, they let his dad go over there.
We said it on air. You know, yeah. We're not those kind of people that don't think super highly of a fighter, but then shit on them even ways when they're being, when it's not being handled correctly. The fact they fucked around with his father, I think it's whack.
Yeah, and then they let him in last minute anyway.
They let him in last minute, you know, which good for the kid. You know, him and his father are very close. I'm sure it was a huge weight lifted off the kid's shoulders. He did what I thought he had to do, which was win every round, because I thought he was going to win 8 or 9 and get hosed. They tried to fucking.
Oh, yeah.
See, this is where, bro, where me and you, I know it's getting old. You guys can tell us if it's fucking, we talk about it too much. But don't write us in about robberies, but not write in when there's shitty cards, even when the right guy wins.
Right. And it's technically, it should be considered a robbery.
Look, cards were 116, 112, flip two rounds, and it would have been a majority draw, and he would have kept his belts.
Right.
How can you possibly?
Like I said, maybe the second round or third round I gave to Camposas. Let's talk about this though. So I don't think we need to break this down because it was so one-sided. There's not really, it's Haney stuck behind the jab. He didn't get Camposas out of there. He didn't need to. Again, dominant. Do you think, what I mean is, let's talk about the politics post this fight. Has Camposas exercised the mandatory for real? Like, are they setting dates?
It's supposed to happen this week. We're recording on a Tuesday night. Okay. So by the time you guys hear this, hopefully it's Thursday.
I've heard rumblings that certain aspects of this rematch clause might change. I don't know if they will. I don't know if those rumblings are just bullshit, if it's wishful thinking. Nobody from this country wants this fight, the rematch in Australia. It's mostly considered a foregone conclusion at this point. I had heard that they're going to do this again in 9 weeks from when the fight was, that they want to make it so fast because both guys didn't take too much punishment.
And that
they
want to
get this shit out of the way.
I believe off air, you and I said the Haney should stay in Australia.
Yes, he was back the next day.
Yep. You and I said, stay there for 2 months, beautiful country, beautiful continent, stay there for 8 weeks.
take 2 weeks, see the sights, go, you know.
Absolutely.
Fly your family.
10 to 14 days.
Right, you just, whoever, your girl.
Bring your girl.
You know, I don't know if his, and again, this sounds silly to say this, because I really don't know. If his mother is in the picture or not, you know what I mean? Whatever
I don't
it is.
Either.
Whatever it is, you got to get your mom out there. I don't know if he's involved with anybody. Get a girl out there.
Yeah, he was with a girl at the most recent fight. I'm assuming it's his girlfriend. They seemed like a couple. If that makes any sense, you can tell. Pretty
so
girl. Is,
or if you don't have a girlfriend, get your a couple of good friends to come out.
Yeah,
he's like 23, right?
Yeah, enjoy Australia. I
would have stayed there. I would have said, guys, come out for. I'll fly you out 2-3 weeks. Hang out. And then look, I'm going back into camp, you know.
Look, if they do that, B, I'm way less heated about it.
Right.
If it's 8-9 weeks, I'm not going to make a stink. I still don't think it's needed. I think he might bust him up and stop him. It would be more
bro,
on cuts. Or
I'm
like
really
that.
Talking dollars and cents here. Like this hogs up a date. You know what I'm saying? Like
I'm agreeing. I don't want to watch it.
No.
But what I meant by is if you're right and they made it quick, I'll be less mad. Sure. What I'm hearing is they want a Lomachenko fight in the fall.
Yeah.
That's what I'm hearing. And we certainly aren't in the position to tell anyone that's at war what they should do or when they should do it. There's rumblings that things are calming down over there. Someone could write into the show that's living over there and be like, what are you talking about?
KEOTBboxing@gmail.com. KEOTBboxing@gmail.com.
The
Let us know.
I'm hearing, that whatever that means, bro, there's no such thing as slowing down in war. That the horrors of war can't be slowed down. But right. So I don't want to make light of it. But for whatever that's worth, that's what I'm hearing. And then you have an 8-week camp, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. If you're talking October or something, you know, we don't know. We haven't heard a peep, bro.
Right.
A peep since he said no to the fight, said I'm fighting, signed up, got in that battalion in his hometown. We haven't heard a peep.
Mm-hmm.
So, but that's, you know, the fight they want to make, meaning Aram, Devin Haney, his father, his team, the powers that be. That's the fight to make.
I believe there's two fights left on Haney's contract. Okay, I think it was a 3-fight deal, right?
Yeah.
And I heard that they want to save. This is why I heard I'm not so sure about the Kambosos rematch, because they want to save the
third fight for Tank, right?
For Loma. So in case that there's a so that they can make the Loma fight, in case they lose to Loma, they can immediate rematch with Loma, okay? And then have the option to either re-sign or do a one-off with Tank.
Oh, that makes sense.
Right.
That makes
sense. That they want the bet. Listen, if they could book Loma at the Garden, you know what I'm saying? They could book Loma
absolutely.
In LA. They could book Loma.
If Devin Haney fights, let's just say they do a quick rematch in, you know, 9 weeks from the fight, not 9 weeks from now, you know?
Right.
He beats Kambosos in a rematch, fights Lomachenko, and then fights Tank. Both of us are going to change our opinion about the kid. You know what
sure,
I mean?
Sure, sure.
Depending on what happens.
And so if he fights that gauntlet, now you're talking. You got to open up the top 10 pound for pound for Haney.
If you're talking about wins, yeah. I mean, I saw people put him in their top 10.
No,
you
can't put him in there.
Bud put him in his top 5. So they must be close in real life.
Yeah, I mean,
top 5 is rough.
A lot of boxing people, it really involved with boxing way more than you and me, really like this kid. Mm-hmm. So he's been around everyone's gyms and people, you know, in and out of gyms since he was a little kid. So I'm not going to say any more than that, but I think there's a little like, we've seen this kid come up. We're so proud of him.
I know people. How do I say this? Let's just say this. I can confirm what you just said.
Yeah.
Factually, not with guesswork. Right. So
he's everyone's little brother kind of thing.
You have your druthers, he's got 2 fights left. You like Lomachenko and a Lomachenko rematch if he loses.
If he wins,
he fights Tank. I don't know if they'll cross the street for that, but we'll talk about that when
it happens. Right. Or if he does, if he makes a Loma fight, beats Loma, then gives Kambosos his, you know, whatever rematch, you know, depending on how they work the deal. It's Bob, so it could be all kinds of funky shit. But I'm hearing rumblings that they may not make the rematch. I think it's contingent on what you said, Vinny, that they got to see where Loma's at. You know what I'm saying? They got to see, again. And if Kambosos is demanding that the rematch is in Australia, that's also going to be a whole nother wrinkle. All right, moving on. Kenichi Ogawa versus Joe Cardona. I incorrectly picked this fight. This was a great
Cordina.
Cordina, sorry. Joe Cordina. He's Paisan.
What's with the Paisans in Wales? Do you know that? You're smarter than me. Why is there so many Paisans in Wales?
I don't know, but there's also a lot in Scotland too.
Yeah. I don't know. It had to be back in the day, some sort of opportunities for work.
Yeah.
Or just escaping
fascism.
True. There's like this town in Romania that's all Paisan, like the whole town, but they went there for like work in the coal mines.
Well, the Wales is coal mines as well. So that could be.
There's our answer, maybe.
Boom. Someone, hey, right into KOTB Boxing if you know some.
Hey, this Cordina kid can fight.
He's good.
That division, you know, you're hovering around a division that's 130, you know, 130, 135. You got some guys there that you might not want to fight.
If Shakur wants to pick up a strap.
That's what I'm saying. Now, if I'm Shakur and I'm not coming up, right now, I mean, he's definitely coming up. We both agreed on that. You know what I mean? He's talking about maybe coming up. I like what Shakur has been saying recently. It's funny how quick things can turn around for you. When I was murdering him and Mick, what's the Conlon. Mick?
Conlon.
Mick Conlon. And now Shakur, a solid win against your guy, Herring. Then a beautiful win against Oscar Valdez.
Yep.
And now he's talking crazy, and I like it. He's not doing the douchebag talking crazy, saying, I'll go up, I'll fight Tank, I'll fight Haney, I'll fight Loma, I'll fight these guys. I'll go up to 135. No one can beat me. Well, you know, I'm not saying I agree with that part, but I believe that he wants big fights. And I didn't before.
Yeah, he wants big fights.
I still think there's a style that can beat him.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing with these dudes, when I'm wrong, I admit it, because I had him and Mick Conlon. I was like, these are more overrated Olympians that get the red carpet treatment. And I think they're going to be exposed. It already happened with Mick Conlon. He's already got a huge comeback fight. So that's the thing, man. When you and I, a lot of episodes have discussed tribalism. When you have a places like that on lock, bro, like he probably has to have six losses before he'll stop selling places out.
The place
is going to be sold out. You know what
and
I
he's
mean?
Got he yeah, and his personality and yeah.
Yeah, and then you can bring it here because look at the Irish population on the East Coast. There's so many
Irish people here.
Philly, Boston. I mean, he could do Boston. He could fight at home. You know, any time of the year, he could fight in Boston on St. Patrick's Day, New York on St. Patrick's Day, Philly on St. You know what I mean?
Right.
So it's a little bit different for him when I was like, he's going to get exposed. And he did. But I don't know how much it'll affect him.
Yeah. I don't know if Irish Ropes promotion is still around, but that's who used to do the John Duddy fights.
Yeah. John Duddy.
Duddy.
Let's talk about our guy. Cool boy, Steph.
Stephen Fulton. Daniel Roman.
Look, Daniel Roman is a real guy.
My favorite current fighter.
My second
in boxing
current favorite fighter Stephen in Fulton. Boxing.
And both your guys are from Philly.
Yes. How cool is that? Yeah.
How cool is that for you?
But how, what's it called? Does it seem? How home team? How, what's that word called? When, you know, someone
homer? Being a homer?
No. Like when it's your brother. So what's the word I'm looking for? We couldn't think of a word earlier.
I know.
We're both idiots.
Billy, chime in.
What's the word? When you,
you come with the word.
Yeah, it comes in with the word. When you're, it's not nepotism. It's, of course you think he's the best. He's your brother. He's your cousin. You know, not a homer, but you know what I'm talking about, right? Or no?
Sure. No.
You're being, really don't? You're being what?
Billy, is he asleep?
Yeah, he's probably drunk. You're being what when you, when you show favoritism to someone, you're being what, you know? Yeah, of course you like that guy. Anyway, what a performance. And guys, woo! Danny Roman can fight. Danny Roman, after the fight, was like, yo, this guy can't be fucked with.
No. You talk about...
You know what I'm saying? That's what he said.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, no, what I'm saying is you said something before about getting embarrassed. Not that Roman has anything to be embarrassed about, but Felton is the kind of guy that can put on an embarrassing performance if you're his opponent. He can embarrass you. That's how good he is.
I can't think of a guy that lost that said what he said in recent memory.
Right.
Oh, he just beat me from pillar to post. Nah, nobody can fuck with him. No. He's by far the best fighter I ever fought. I mean, just real. Then this kid, such a good kid, goes on Twitter and says, "Yo, you're the best I ever fought. I wish you nothing but success."
And by the way, this guy Stephen Felton is like a nice guy.
Yes,
that's the thing too. It's like the worst part about it is like he's such a nice guy. I think he's, you know, during the lead ups and everything, everyone likes him. So it's
Yeah, and hey, don't forget, guys that don't know, Steph Felton's a Muslim and he's practicing. So he was in camp during Ramadan, which I don't have to tell you if you understand what Ramadan is, how difficult that is. You're fasting from sunup to sundown. So unless he was training on reverse hours, which he may have,
right?
I can't imagine, because most guys just won't fight. Amir Khan never would. Mm-hmm. Arthur Beterbiev, who we're going to speak about in a little bit, will, but he'll be smart about it. They wanted him to shave his beard down, and he refused in the Kowalski fight, which was in Philly, which I was at.
Beterbiev?
Yeah, and he was like, nah, it's about to be Ramadan. You know, so that's you have to understand, guys, Ramadan's a month. You have camp for a couple months, so the couple months before and after it could be affected, you know. So it's upwards of 4 or 5 months that if you're practicing, you have to figure out a way to do this and do it the right way and be healthy, you know, without croaking out there, because you're fasting from not just food, from drink. People don't know that. Oh, you can't drink either, they say to me. You can't, nothing, not water. I'm like, no, man, it's the whole purpose of it. So look, cool boy Steph. Look, there's one more belt there. There's one more belt for the Monster anyway, who we're talking about next.
Yeah.
Look, I think they both unify, become four belt champions in their divisions.
Oh, man.
Cool boy Steph goes up.
Yeah.
What's better than that?
So, yeah, Steph, this is 122 pounds. Again, he creeps into the to the pound for pound list. He has to. If he's not on your pound for pound, everybody's pound for pound list. You got to question your list. I don't know if there's anybody in the game right now that can stay in the pocket and fight as good as he can. I don't think there is, as far as that's concerned. This guy is a joy to watch. I know a lot of people aren't into, you know, some of the lighter weights. This is what I consider a jockey division.
Real quick, so I can correct myself. The Monster would go up. Not
the Monster would go up, right? From
18 to 22.
Yeah, from my apologies to Junior Just Feather.
A pleasure. A pleasure to watch this kid fight, man.
Please. And he's got a rat tail.
Yeah.
That's the best part. Dude, my man rocks a 1988 fresh rat tail.
It's almost like Roy's shag, but in a pony.
Like a weird ponytail. Mm-hmm. It's dope. It gives me, it's like watching Beat Street. You know what I'm saying? Like, yo, my man, this is the coolest cat out there, and he's the best fighter. I like him. He's my favorite. He's not the best, but he's my favorite fighter. So,
my second favorite fighter.
Yeah, I love this dude.
Shout out my man KO, aka Lord Scotch, who hit me up right after the fight talking about the rat tail.
Oh yeah?
Yeah, and I was like, I might grow one in.
I think out of solidarity with Steph Felton.
That's what I'm saying.
We may have to rock some rat tails.
Just keep getting shape ups, but let the rat tail
let the rat tail hang. Mm-hmm. I don't know why Felton has not marketed this, his rat tail, like what's his face? The basketball player with the unibrow? What's the big kid on Lakers?
The brow. Davis.
Anthony Davis, yeah, the kid from Chicago, yeah. Steph Felton should do the same thing. So, Steph, shout me out. You know, let me know if you need management advice. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm, get this thing popping. Mm-hmm. On that same card.
How about our guy, David Morrell?
David Morrell. Calvin Henderson, KO, knocked him out.
David Morrell can fight.
Yeah, he's really good. So, they're talking about
strong, Skills.
Cuban. He's talking about fighting David Benavidez. I think that they just cut a promo. Benavidez, the Jose Sr. If you guys go to his social media, he just, I guess Morel's been talking greasy. And you, if you guys aren't familiar with David Benavidez, he welcomes that sort of thing.
He cuts a good promo.
Yeah, so he's just working the bag and he's letting his dad do the talking. It's pretty funny. It's very 80s WWF style, where like the, you know, you'll get the wrestler lifting weights and the manager just,
yeah, Bobby Heenan's cutting promos. Yeah,
Bobby Heenan or Paul Bearer, or you know what I mean, Jimmy Hart. This is very WWF-esque. It's funny. So maybe we'll get that next. If we can't get Benavidez in there with some of the bigger names, this would be a huge challenge for both men. I'd like to see it. There's not much more I can say about David Morrell other than he's dangerous. He's a player at super middleweight. And Calvin Henderson was a step up, and he came to fight.
He didn't come. He certainly did.
Yeah, he certainly did.
Hey, and guys who look him up, B, or go back and watch this, see, this guy's got 7 fights. You have to understand how decorated these guys are, these Cubans.
Yeah, these amateurs. And they fight twice as long as everybody else in the amateurs.
Like, you look at Rigon Diao and how quick.
Right,
you
they look moved at, him. Right.
Because the guy had hundreds and hundreds of amateur fights. You look, some Erez people Landy might. Lara. Right, some people might check out Lomachenko because of us. And say, oh, this guy's got 16 fights. He's, you know, how's this right. happen? Well, he's fighting for titles in the second fight. So it's,
right.
You know, they're so skilled, they're moved so much. This fight, you know, he might not have fought someone like Calvin Henderson until his 15th fight.
Correct. That's a great point. Yeah. If we were moving him like a typical American or typical European fighter. Moving on.
The monster
to a Tuesday morning fight that I watched.
The two of us maniacs texting at 5. I text you at what, 5 or 5:30? Like 5:30.
The card is starting.
I'm like, the card is starting. You're like,
you're
all banged up.
Yeah.
And you're like, tell me when the main event starts. And I think you like pulled over off the side of the road and watched the whole shit.
One of the beauties of ESPN Plus, or for me, because of the nature of the jobs I have, is that I'm constantly in the car driving. So the beauty of these apps is that I can pull these things up right on my phone. And if I need to pull over and watch a fight, I can. I don't know. It's a whole new world. Sometimes it can't wrap my head around the amount of media we have at our fingertips. And yeah. That just a few years ago, I would not have been able to do that. I would have had to, I mean, even not that long ago, relatively speaking, I would have had to record it on a tape, mm-hmm. you know, before TiVo came out, which then embedded DVR, which fuck you, Optimum. The DVR here never works.
I loved your meltdown recently over that.
Oh, when I recorded like 3 different things and it blasted.
I think Showbox didn't record or something.
Did not record. I went fucking ballistic. And on top of that, my poor wife, who works her ass off too, she records certain shows because she
falls asleep. Didn't all of her shit
fucking shit to bed. And now we've been trying to cancel for the last 2 weeks and they won't let us cancel. But anyway, hey, fuck you, Optimum. Anyway, yeah, she's, I feel bad for her. I felt terrible for her. Anyway. I got to watch this fight live. It was nice.
I said that in a way would stop him in 7.
Right. I don't think I disagreed.
He did him dirtier than that.
Whoa. I
mean, woo, this guy is good.
Wow. He's really good. Everybody thought, including myself, that he would come out more cautious after having his nose and orbit broken in the previous fight. By
Denaire. He does the exact opposite.
Does the exact fucking opposite. He's like, I ain't risking that shit. So a good defense is a better offense. And he parks Denaire in 2. Holy shit.
Well, let's go back to you talking about the jockey divisions, that you refer to them as the jockey divisions. And you, when I say you, Royal U.
Yes.
You got to start putting respect on who these guys are. Look, we're responsible for what we say, not for what people understand on this show.
Right.
If we're telling you these guys in these small divisions are beating good guys, Steph Fulton making Danny Roman look silly is no different than Bud making a really good guy at 47 look silly.
No, right, exactly.
Because you don't know them.
Right.
It doesn't affect why we have people so high on pound for pound lists. So we are responsible for your knowledge of fighters and the sport.
Right. So listen, one of the other things too about these small divisions is they don't garner as big a paydays. So you can't make money as a professional fighter fighting the fifth and sixth ranked guy like guys do in higher divisions, okay? Because they're more well known. You almost have to fight the when you're that top level, like Inoue, Steph Fulton, Daenerys.
Before Chocolatito, like, yo, I just got to get in the ring with other monsters.
Right, I got to get in the ring with other guys. It's why Chocolatito's record is against all champions recently. Even more so recently, he's just fighting whoever they could find put in front of him because he does have a name. Then when you make a name for yourself and everyone goes back and looks at your highlights, as far as the TV and the promoters go, they go, well, we got to match them tough because this 115, 118, 122 pounder has to live up to this hype now, and the fight has to live up to the hype.
Yeah.
With that said, Inoue is incredible. This is his third division, and he's had 18 championship fights, okay? 16 of which have ended in knockout, and he's got 22 total fights over three divisions. So what a lot of people don't realize is they're saying, oh, Daenerys is old. How do you have Inoue rank so high in your pound? Daenerys had a career resurgence, so we got to give him props for that. He beat who he had to beat at 118 pounds. Daenerys' loss at 118 was to Rigondeaux, yes, a long time ago. He then moved up, fought guys, and lost to guys at higher weights, then moved back down and regained his
former greatness. 118 and under. Besides an early fluke loss, he basically has one loss.
One loss. Right. Right.
Those other losses are when he went up too big.
Right. Against Nicholas Walters.
Who was the most destructive puncher in that division.
In that division.
Most feared puncher in that division.
Right. So, with that said,
Lomachenko retired.
Yeah. That's a weird career ending thing.
Very odd. Very odd.
Just disappeared off the face.
The last time we spoke about him, we both looked him up and there's just nothing. It's like he's like, took money, went back to Jamaica and was like, I'm just going to.
Well, remember, he missed weight in the previous fight. It was like a whole big thing. And then he quit. And it was like, I think the trainer said, like, yeah, he just doesn't want to do it anymore.
Yeah, I mean, we don't know. There's guys we know because we know people in the sport. And then there's guys we don't. I don't have any connection
to
Nicholas Walters or his camp to tell you, oh, he's a head case. You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, it was. It's weird. Yeah, I mean, he lost to Carl Frampton. This is Daenerys I'm talking about at 125. He loses to Magdaleno at 122, which was like a kind of a weird loss. Jesse Magdaleno, that was a weird loss.
Yeah.
And then Nicholas Walters and Rigo. I mean,
but bro, the fight with Inoue the first time around, he was dropped, but that was still like fight of the year,
right?
Fight of the year candidate,
right?
It's so not like he got sparked out and just got another shot at him.
Guys, wrap your head around this for Inoue.
And Nonito Dune is a first ballot Hall of Famer.
First ballot Hall of Famer. So wrap your head around this, guys. He's like a modern day Archie Moore. You know what I'm saying? Fought across all these divisions, career resurgence, 40 years old, getting in there with monsters. I'm talking about Daenerys. You know what I mean? It's like a modern day.
This is Daenerys Marciano fight.
Yeah. Joe Louis, 176 years old.
How dare you?
That was a fucking making a joke. It's a fucking Eddie Murphy movie. Coming to America.
How dare you?
Well, you didn't seem to get the reference. He's got 20 knockouts, 23 wins. 18 of those 18 of the 23 wins are in title fights. 16 of the 18 title fights have ended before the final bell because he's knocked his guy. I mean, over across three divisions. Just wrap that your head around that.
That right hand that ended it was so short.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, this guy's getting better, tightening his shots up.
Yeah.
It's scary, man.
I don't know if people or if you saw it. I posted Daenerys' reaction in the locker room to what happened.
Yes, he's explaining what
it was so cool. If you guys get a chance to watch that,
it was cool of him to do it.
The first right hand, he's like, I didn't know that I got hit. I looked over at my corner and Rachel was screaming for me to get up. He's like, oh shit, I got dropped. Yeah. And he said, the rest of the fight, I don't really know too much about. I can't really explain to you guys what else happened. Some people had written me DM that they did. I think that the stoppage was premature. I didn't when I first watched it because he didn't seem like he was with it. And certainly after listening to the interview with him explain that he had no idea where he was after the first round, I definitely don't think it was. Oh, look, guys, these referees make an assessment. Yes, we've seen premature stoppages. This was not one of them. And I think more often than not, the referees do get these stoppages right. Look, and against a guy like Inoue, I'd rather see an early stoppage than something that happens too late.
Guys, you got to understand that there's also part of what the referee is doing is what is going to happen if he gets up and I let him continue.
Right.
With probably pound for pound, the most destructive puncher in the sport. Pound for pound.
I mean, I've been at fights, and I'll name names. I've been at fights where Arthur McCanthy is refereeing, and I'm like, can somebody fucking stop this fight?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Steve Smoger was notorious.
I love Steve Smoger, but he would let shit get rough. Frank Cappuccino, same way.
I'm not going to name names because he's a very well-known fighter. He said to me, and I quote, Harvey Dock will let you burn on fire till there's nothing left but smoking embers before he fucking stops fire.
I like and, Harvey Dock.
And I like Harvey Dock too. And I think, in my opinion, with Harvey Dock, he's gotten much better at stopping some fights when they needed to be stopped. But I've been at fights, especially like undercard fights. You know what I mean? That Doc is doing at like the Barclays. He's like a New York based referee. Uh-huh. Where I'm like, the guy's hanging out of the fucking ropes.
Well, who was working the Josue Vargas fight? Not that we're going to discuss it, but this weekend.
I don't know. Who did
work? Yeah, I don't know. But that was bad. He got up from a knockdown and wobbled all over the place. And he's
got to stop fighting.
Yo, yeah. Yeah, he's shot.
Shot.
Yeah, he was at the hospital that night. He went to the hospital.
What did they say?
His brother said he was picking him up. They were running tests. It seemed to be okay. And he was picking him up after the event.
I hope he finds something else to do.
Me too.
That's scary. So anyway, guys, Inoue, Vinny touched on before, what people are calling for is to move up to a fourth division. The guy's name is Steve Butler, the other belt holder at Bantam.
He's got WBO.
Yeah, I was listening to one of the commentators say, like, I hope that Butler's well compensated if he takes that fight.
Right.
because it'll just be an absolute slaughter. I think they actually, did you look it up? I think they have Butler ranked like lower 10 of the division and he holds a belt.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, with that said,
I just think you're just adding to the mystique of the fight. If Inoue, unifies and Fulton then, does too. I just think that's a mistake.
And then they meet at 22.
Yeah.
Or even a catch. Well, I'd like to see 22. I'd like to keep it in the weight classes. So guys, that's what I think for the most part, people are looking forward to is Inoue and Fulton eventually meeting down the road. Both guys are relatively young. Both guys don't have too many miles on them as far as, cause again, at these lower divisions, I read the statistics, you're pretty much fighting killers every time to get that back. Yeah. So, the next moving on, and hey, Nonito Donaire, I think that he retired, right, Vinny?
I believe so.
Well, I shout out to him.
Yeah, if he did, you know.
Wow, what a great career.
20 yeah. plus years of.
Jesus. I feel like we've been talking about, I've been talking about that kid since Victor Chinyan.
Yeah, when Darchinian was arguing, saying that he didn't get knocked out because he didn't even know.
Because he didn't even know, yeah. I remember.
And that was like, that feels like 20 years ago.
Right. Daenerys' brother, Glenn.
Yeah.
You know, that he was for a quick time, a little bit more famous and a bigger prospect when Nonito was in his early 20s. But yeah, what a great career. And I a lot of good memories. And I wish him nothing but the best. I would love to see Daenerys, because I think he has the type of personality, teach the sport going forward. I mean, he has seeming the temperament and the personality. I'd also like to hear him on the mic.
Mm-hmm.
He's got a great speaking voice.
Yeah, I could definitely see him doing commentary.
Yeah, and I think he's, in listening to him break down fights of his own, it's almost like when you listen to Paulie. Mm-hmm. You know, it's very intelligent, but he also does a good enough job of, and this is no disrespect to either guy, of dumbing it down for the audience so that the audience can relate. It's very mm-hmm. important for a commentator to do that. Oftentimes when you listen to some of these guys for any sport, they're over too technical about it and you sort of lose the fan. There's a fine balance that I think Paulie definitely has. I mean, it's probably the best trait he has as a boxing commentator.
Agreed.
And I think Daenerys has it. So I'd like to hear him on the mic or training guys. Moving on. Edgar Baitlanga and Alexis Angulo.
Look, this guy stinks. look, man, I understand that they're generationally speaking, there needs to be a star out of PR. Xander Zayas.
Yeah, but he's not out of PR. He's out of Brooklyn. This is what I don't get.
He's a Puerto Rican, though.
Yo, but Trinidad, Brooklyn. I mean, Trinidad, Puerto Rico. Cotto, Puerto Rico. Even Camacho was born in Puerto Rico. Much closer ties to Puerto Rico. You understand what I'm saying?
Well, let's get Xander Zayas.
And rest in peace, Carlos Ortiz from Ponce, Puerto Rico. You know, and he was a New Yorker as well. So he's rest in peace to Carlos Ortiz. He was the head of the New York State Athletic Commission for a long time. And a hell of a fucking fighter, Hall of Famer. Berlanga is not a Hall of Famer.
The cards were too wide.
Way too wide.
Angulo busted him up. If you're a fighter, you cannot miss a right hand on this kid. No. He can't slip it. He can't pick it off.
I don't know what he's doing in there.
He can't parry and counter off it.
No.
It's the right hand's there all day. Angulo, Colombian, strong puncher, fought two real guys, lost both, but capable guy who can handle himself, but older, out of his prime, just landing right hands at will. I don't know what this kid's doing. He's trying to fight off the back foot, but can't. I don't know what's hot. I mean, take it away, babe, because I don't know what else to say.
This is you were talking about overrated fighters. You were talking about hype jobs. You were talking about this is it all in a nutshell. And on top of it, now he's a head case.
head case, the Fat Joe stuff is obnoxious.
Yo, stop with that shit, bro. Stop with that shit. Like,
the kid, and you want to talk about his
Fat Joe should
bro.
Distance himself from this.
Agreed. But when people are feeling themselves, and you can feel that they're feeling themselves, that's this kid, like, to a T.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I'm a monster. I'm the man. He's talking about interview with Kriegel. There's going to be haters. There's going to be haters because you look like shit the last three or four fights.
Yo, and not just that. Like, it's your whole persona, bro.
He's a bozo. He's like a New York Rican Charlo.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes. Yeah, he's, yeah. I mean, yo, they
and
say,
you
like,
know, do you know who these guys' fan bases are, B?
Yeah, like
dudes,
like
them.
Like little hype beast kids.
Yes. You know what I mean? Like the Danny Garcia and Gabe Rosado fans look like Danny and Gabe Rosado.
Right.
Like if you're arguing with the dude, they have on like fluorescent jeans and white rim shades while they're arguing with you that Danny's the best.
Right.
So it's like you it's sometimes on the show we go, who are these guys?
Yeah, you just you just spoke his name. So that'll be Berlanga's next opponent, by the way, is Gabe Rosado. you just said Gabe Rosado. You just put that into the universe.
Oh, someone just wrote me and said Gabe Rosado will beat him. And I was like, I'm not really going to argue with that.
Yeah, I'm not really going to argue with it either. But if you say Gabe Rosado's name three times, he gets a fight.
He appears. Well, like three fights ago, we said we never want to see him on our TV again.
And he literally was. Yeah, we've seen him twice. He pops up the next week like, oh, look, someone made a fight with Gabe Rosado. Well, I don't know what else to say.
I don't want to see him anymore.
I don't want to see him anymore. I don't care to see him anymore. I think he's going to get knocked out. I don't know if ESPN books him anymore after this whole bite thing. He's not marketable.
He's a low life.
There's no humility. Who's training him now, by the way? Because Rozier.
I think it's Trinidad's team.
Oh, okay.
He's definitely with Trinidad's like nutritionist and stuff like that. But they said he's working with Trinidad's old team, but Trinidad's trainer was Papa Trinidad, so that's not who was in his corner. So, but I think it's like maybe some of Cotto's people, and because they were like talking about like how he's gonna reconnect with the island. So it's
he's
like,
from fucking Bushwick. I don't get it,
bro. Look, it's they're trying, B. What do you do?
It annoys me.
It annoys me too. And I like what's not to like about Xander Zayas,
right? Right. He's the guy.
He's a sweetheart. He's from the island. He's a kid. So they do need to stall time. When I say kid, I mean kid.
He's 19.
They need to stall a little bit. And that's what's going on with Berlanga. But like, yo, he ain't got much stalling to do. Verdejo's in jail for a body.
Right.
You know, but I don't want to see this kid next Puerto Rican Day Parade weekend, bro.
No, me neither.
And it's
that's not the kind. He's. I mean, I went to Cotto Judah. I used to go to the fights that the Puerto Rican day jump off.
Me and my brother would go every.
And it was Cotto, dope.
Every Cotto one.
It was dope.
Paulie, Judah.
Yeah. It was dope.
Sugar Chain Mosley.
Yeah. This didn't Sugar have Chain. That. This didn't have that feel.
No, they were booing by the eighth.
Yeah, it sucked. Anyway, I don't want to talk about it anymore. Jaime Munguia and Jimmy Kelly. Also fought this weekend. We didn't much of that fight.
We didn't. Let me just tell you this. Jimmy Kelly was fucking giving him a boxing lesson.
Yep.
Until he got caught. So take that, guys, for what you will. B and I have been saying it. I said, I'm talking about when we first started this show, talking about Jaime Munguia. I think his upside, and this is no disrespect. Please don't anyone take it as disrespect. Is an Arturo Gatti-esque career.
Yeah.
A high-level guy with movement is going to give him all kinds of trouble. Other maniacs that come straight at him, war.
War.
I think he can make for super fun wars. At 60, 68, eventually 75, there's guys that fight at a high level that will just box his ears off.
By the way, did you see that this was at a catch weight of like 165 pounds?
Yes, yes, which means he's having trouble at 60. If he goes to 68, a guy, you know, a guy that can move and give angles like a Caleb Plant-esque guy.
Yep.
All the trouble in the world. I'd love him and Benavidez with the war.
And let's talk about it. Munguia moving up against a true 68 pounder, right? A guy who's been at that division, like the guy you just mentioned, who comes forward and stands still.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how well that works out for Munguia either. You understand what I'm saying? He's been able to bully smaller guys.
We don't know what his chin is like at 68.
Right. Eventually, or if his power doesn't, you know.
If it carries. Because we don't know about his chin yet because he's just.
Honestly, I don't want to see that motherfucker on my DAZN since I'm paying for pay-per-views now until he gets a fucking real guy.
Well, yeah, we've talked about these guys ad nauseum. When's this guy going to fight a real guy? Benavidez, you were upset about the David Lemieux fight. It's like, I hear about this guy. Come on, man. You guys, this guy, Munguia's got like 40 fights, doesn't he?
Right. I'm looking at this guy, Jimmy Kelly. He fights anywhere from...
probably like, 54.
Yeah, junior middle up to like light heavy.
Yeah.
He's like, I'll just take anybody.
I mean, he was giving him problems.
He was. All right.
He was landing shots. He just doesn't have any sting to him. You know?
All right. Look, man.
How many fights does Munguia have?
Munguia's got 40 fucking fights, dude.
That's what I thought. We need him with a real guy at 60.
It's crazy. We go from 1 minute talking about guys like Steph Felton who fight killers. And Inoue.
Nothing but killers.
Inoue fights nothing but killers, right? You talk about
Guy with 40
David
fights.
David Morrell in his seventh fight. You know, you got even Kambosos Haney. Haney's a young kid with like, you know, 20 fights. He's trying to make fights with everybody. And then you have Jaime Munguia not fighting anybody. Get this guy off my fucking TV, off my pay for fucking double pay, double dip fucking Fast Eddie Hearn DAZN. Which I think it's hilarious that people think Eddie Hearn owns DAZN. They don't realize it's like a giant. Yeah. Global
corporation.
Corporation
invested in football, meaning European football, car racing.
Car racing, yeah.
Yeah.
Snooker.
Yeah.
They love that shit. Darts.
They do. They do. Love their
They love their darts.
Everybody in Europe has DAZN.
You fucking weirdos. You guys sit there and watch a fucking.
You are fucking really weird.
Bar game. It's a pub game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that accent again.
Which accent was that?
I don't know.
The fucking master of disguise over here.
Yeah, you think you are. That's like a mutated like Brit that lives in Amsterdam.
Amsterdam? Yeah. All right.
Moving on to
the
some
great
to big things.
Joe Smith.
I give
him top billing.
What were all the nicknames you gave to him on my Instagram? Very disrespectful.
The Philly Slayer.
That was one of them. The Last Stop.
The Last Stop, because
the Mastic Mauler.
The Mastic Mauler. The Drastic Mastic. That I don't know why no one jumped on that for his nickname originally.
Agreed.
The Mastic Mauler. What is his nickname?
I don't fucking know. His name's Joe Smith.
I think they have him like his. I swear to God, I think it's like Irish Joe Smith.
Oh, Maron on me. Look, the Muslim.
He's not even
Don.
Irish.
The Muslim Don, Artur Beterbiev. I spoke to the great Ice Scully today.
Okay. What did he have to say?
So
he talked about how afraid they are of the Last Stop?
No, they didn't. I can tell you, let me get it here. I spoke to Ice early this morning. Specifically for this show, he was gracious enough to give us some time.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Ice. I appreciate you. he wanted to know if we were going, and you know, was saying, saying we could go to the press conference on Thursday, but you know,
I can't.
I told
do
him
that.
About our recent problems
with the cuff.
So I spoke to Ice, and you know, I call Ice Coach because I think it's a respectful thing to do. You know,
yeah, you're a nice guy.
Asked him about camp, how it's been going. You know, tell me what's going on. This is out of this is, and I quote: "This is the Iceman, John Scully, former pro fighter, sparred with the Tasmanian Devil, had some good tough fights, good tough wins at pro, took bad Chad Dawson to the championship."
Yep.
Work with a lot of guys, still works with a lot of guys. He's in Artur's camp. I respect Joe. This is Ice Scully speaking. I respect Joe a great deal for all his determination and strength. But at the same time, I just feel like everything that he does well and every strength that he has, Artur has all of that and much more. Everything Joe can do, Artur can do much better. We've got to be smart and follow the plan. And with that in mind, I just feel like we've got too much for Joe. Joe was on TV the other day talking about his thought process in this fight when he captured the WBO title. And that was very indicative for me. He showed a weakness there that Artur simply doesn't have at the end of the day that is going to be the difference. I'm thinking that Artur stops him in 5 or 6 rounds. So, yo, Ice, man, that's my OG. I know Ice. Strange enough, we were talking about strange ways of meeting and knowing people. Our good friend Correct came up under Ice, you know, Correct's a trainer out in Vegas. And I also know Ice through the Tasmanian Devil. We were together at the Bleed for this premiere in Vegas. Me and Ice, we went to Diego Corrales' grave together. And Ice is a good guy, a boxing encyclopedia in the mind. Good trainer, great trainer, has champions, solid pro, decorated amateur, all around good guy. That's what he thinks. He thinks what I think. obviously
mid rounds KO.
What he thinks means more because he's in Montreal training with this maniac every day. Mm-hmm. I've seen footage that they don't post, you know, private footage of Artur training. He's a maniac. Mm-hmm. He's a maniac. I think, look, man, the way we're talking about Inouye, the way we're talking about Steph Fulton, and then there's this other thing that we only talk about rarely on this show, B. And the reason we talk about it rarely is because it's a rare quality. It's a rare trait. And that is, and it's going to be something we're going to have to talk about with Bud and Spence when we do, you know?
Spence?
This guy is a warrior in the sense of the word of thousands of years ago. I'm very frightened as a man of people that are willing to die. Okay. And there's guys in our top 10 in the world that I'm like, this motherfucker's crazy and he'll get up. He ain't willing to die.
Okay.
And if you ask me, every time Better Biev's in a fight, why I pick him, I will, and we're about to talk about game plans, you know, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, because that's what we do, and that's why we do previews. And all things are equal, which I don't think they are in this fight. But if they are, right? Mm-hmm. Let's just say it's Bivol, you know, or even someone like Canelo who just lost, but very good, you know, still top 10. I'm gonna be like, I don't think that motherfucker's willing to go to a place that this guy's willing to go.
Right.
I think there's a switch in his head that the average, forget fighter, forget boxer, forget fighter, the average human being doesn't have in their head. Mm-hmm. There's a level of pride. There's a level of warrior. There's a level of dedication to the deen of Allah, which I know a lot of you listeners don't care about, but to Muslims, it's very important. He's very much like deen, family, boxing. Like, that's his life. Clean living. Will politely ask you to pull the car over during prayer time to pray on the side of the road if need be. He's a different type of dude, man. And I'm only saying these things because I'm close to people in that camp. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm giving a little extra because capable of it. Yes. And
of the discipline of this guy.
Yes. Correct knowing him. Correct telling me things. Ice being very close. Mark Ramsey is the head trainer, I think, is one of the most slept on guys in the sport.
Absolutely.
Ice is the second. Great boxing mind. Look, man, I think he's a machine. I think he's 8 years, 7-8 years ago, Triple G on steroids. Pardon that analogy, because I don't literally mean it. on steroids as slang, you know, and slang to say you're this. Or he's that being zapped by the machine in a comic book. He's Triple G being bit by the Spider-Man spider at 175. I think this is a destructive machine. There's been criticisms of his chin. When you get put on your back pockets and pop back up and kill somebody, I don't think you're chinny.
Right.
I think there's something different there. Is it 16-0 with 16 knockouts, B, or 17?
Better be I think it's 17 now, right?
All of his, he has 16 or 17 fights and he stopped everybody. Marcus Brown.
17-0.
17, the last fight with Marcus Brown. How about that gash in the middle of his nose?
Yeah. Well, all that said.
Sorry, I was just trying to give the little, you know, I wanted to talk about what I said.
Joe Smith's never been down in his career. He's been stopped early in his career with a broken jaw. He got his jaw rebroken again and fought 12 rounds with it. He got thoroughly outclassed by Bivol. But this guy is no pushover. All of what you said, I think, is true with Smith, too, in that he's a guy that's, in a way, scary, too. How do you fight 12 rounds with a broken jaw? You know what I mean? Most guys would quit.
Yeah, I mean, you're talking Arturo Gatti.
Right.
Right.
This guy's got heart. He's tough. He may let what he lacks in skill. I'm sorry.
Because I do want you to talk about Joe. Just to interject, I believe there is a difference between heart and this thing that Arthur has that I can't put a word to. But Joe Smith has a massive, massive heart. He's got a bomb in his right hand. There is a narrative around this fight that in his last three or five or however many it's been since his last loss, he's gotten better every fight. I don't believe that.
Listen, they don't call him the last stop for no reason. Okay. that's the best nickname I ever came up with. And when I say they, I mean me.
Right.
Listen, for as long as this lasts, this can be fun. For as long as this lasts, this can also be a fucking nightmare, like putting something in a blender and watching it shred it. Right?
Frog in a blender is what you're saying here?
Look, I was asked this today by another friend of the same of Ice, a friend of Ice,
mm-hmm.
who I'm friends with.
Mm-hmm.
He's I'm not going to name names only because he was asking me my opinion for betting purposes. He said, "What do you think? I'm going to, you know, the line is this," and I said, "This might be Joe's last stop." I said, KO, four rounds or under. Ice is saying mid rounds, 5-7.
5-6 is Ice's prediction.
Okay. I said KO by the fourth round. But Joe's got the equalizer.
Yes, he does.
He does.
And hey, look, I don't believe in the narrative, but the narrative is that Arthur's chinny.
Okay. With that said, in Joe having his jaw broken twice in his career, Joe's got some miles on him. Arthur does too, due to his amateur career and age.
He's not young.
He's 38. So, guys, tune in to watch this because I think it's going to be a quick, fun, exciting fight. Listen, we're not talking like either guy here that we're like we're watching the Steph Fulton. All right, we're not watching. This is not going to be a highly skilled ticky-tack affair. This is going to be two guys trying to absolutely brutalize one another, which, by the way, doesn't always translate into great TV. Because if two guys are being cautious of one another, it does. But I think this will. Both guys have a very aggressive style. It ends before the bell in the fourth round.
I think Joe is done in the seventh.
Okay.
I want to tack on
this. Could be Better BF's last stop.
God.
Has Better BF visited Philadelphia anytime soon? That's also, we could also throw that in. Because I don't know if you remember, Joe Smith ended Bernard Hopkins' career.
Are you really going to do this again?
Well, has Jesse Hart fought since he fought Joe Smith? Can
Jesse Hart just called out either Munguia or Ooh. Berlanga?
I'd watch that.
Man, me too.
But I just want to see if Jesse Hart has fought since he ran into the Mastic Mauler.
This is all very disrespectful. I want to tack on something to what you said about this isn't going to be pretty. This is, you know, for as long as it lasts, it's going to be a war. It's, you know, not this isn't Steph Fulton.
By the way, it could be a one-sided war.
I think what Arthur Better BF possesses and does is very underrated. I think his skill level and IQ is very underrated. I understand that if you're 17-0 with 17 knockouts, why that happens.
Yeah.
Because how often can you have that record and people not just talk about your power and being a goon? He gives angles. He throws shots from weird angles. He did it to Marcus Brown. If he gets you on the ropes, he won't square up in front of you, which is what people tend to do. I'm talking really good guys.
Yeah.
We'll square up on the ropes. He'll always take a half a step and throw shots that you can't necessarily counter.
Right.
But he's landing them perfectly. He did it to Marcus Brown. Mm-hmm. If you rewatch that fight and see every time Marcus Brown was against the ropes, that's when Arthur just demolished him.
Right.
And Marcus Brown couldn't counter because of the positioning. Mm-hmm. The line started out crazy, and it's moving for your guy.
Mm.
So
really?
People are betting on Joe.
All right.
It started out like, say, 1600.
He's a local 66 laborer, so I'm just gonna go ahead and say that the union degenerate gamblers are taking their checks and blowing it on just fucking
their entire check.
Yeah. But I don't think it's gonna be too close. In all seriousness, I hope it is. It would be great for a hometown guy like Joe.
And guys, it's a unification fight.
Well, I think Joe dropped his, right? So it's for the IBF WBC. And doesn't Arthur have those? Joe had something. I think he had to vacate it, Vin.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I think it's just for the IBF WBC. I think he had the WBO, right?
Yeah, he did. But I didn't know about him having to drop it. So
let me look.
The obvious step is for the winner of this fight to fight Bivol in the fall.
Yeah. Which is cool.
If they can make that fight, you know, crossing the streets, da 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 da. I think they can. And again,
Vinny, you're right. Joe still has the WBO. I don't know why Ring Magazine didn't list all of the belts. BoxRec has them all listed. You're right, Vinny. So
this is for three of the four.
Yes, Vinny, you're right. You are
Bivol
correct.
Has the WBA. So guys, this is important in the long run too.
Yeah,
we think it's good. There's the potential for a short war, you know.
I would love to see better BF Bivol, just a real.
Assuming our predictions are correct, I'd like them to push to make that in the fall.
That'd be awesome.
Before we get into the mailbag and get out of here, there's a DAZN card on the 25th.
Yeah, let's just quickly go through that.
Murajan Akhmadaliyev, Ronnie Rios. Akhmadaliyev's no fucking joke.
Nope. That's a fun card.
Ronnie Rios can handle himself in there, fought real guys. I like Akhmadaliyev by stoppage.
Concur.
Our guy.
Yep.
Bam Rodriguez.
Look who he's getting next.
Sore Rung Vasai.
This fucking kid.
This guy's
he's
nuts.
Like 21, right?
Look, Sore Rung Vasai beat Chocolatito in a fight that I thought Chocolatito won on the Triple G undercard. They ran it back. Rung Vasai knocked him out. This guy's a goon, Rung Vasai. Fought everyone, maniac, lots of punches, power. This Bam Rodriguez that we love. Who beat Cuadras when I picked Cuadras?
Yeah.
Who's high level guy?
Hey, he moved up, and that's what we were saying. That Bam who can still make the lower weight, could theoretically hold belts.
I think he went up two to fight.
Yeah,
Cuadras.
He went up two weight classes. And then Julio Cesar Martinez and Mick Williams.
Well, what do we like there? I have no reason to pick against this kid, Bam, at this point.
Yeah, I think Bam fucks him up.
I do, too. And if he does, we're going to sing this kid's praises even more.
We certainly are.
This Mick Williams Arroyo, him and his brother, Mick Joe, these guys go away?
Never. They're like the herpes of boxing.
It's the pitch.
They just keep popping up.
They can, Jesus you keep Christ. Saying, how does this guy keep getting booked? I mean, it's like...
every time we do a show, it's another Arroyo.
Yeah, last time it's McJoe.
By the way, best names are McWilliams and McJoe. They're Irish Puerto Ricans.
Yeah.
They should have fucking, I don't know why they didn't go that gimmick.
They should come in as leprechauns.
Bro, they should come in as fucking leprechauns, but leprechauns like decked out in like a fucking shamrock, but the PR flag colors like in the shamrock. Mm-hmm. That'd be some fucking fly shit. Like
now you're on to something.
You know, like the beads, they rock around their neck, but do that in the shape of a harp.
So they fought before. I think this is the third time they fought.
Yeah.
Or second. It's the third or fourth. These guys, like you said. These guys got to fight each other.
Right. They just fight each other. They just move in together and fight.
Julio Cesar Martinez in his last fight fought Chocolatito.
Yeah.
So these guys are just maniacs. You know, they got to do it. Because like B says, these jockey divisions, you got to fight real guys if you want to get on TV and even get an okay payday.
So guys, the 25th, June 25th.
It's stacked.
This is a great card. I really hope you guys get into some of these lead divisions. I think the first seven or eight episodes of this show was when we were using the old format. And Vinny and I talked about, I believe, the first or second show, that one of our goals of doing this was to shine a little light on these small divisions, because you will get some incredible, incredible fights. Fun fights. It's just they don't get the press they deserve. So June 25th, DAZN. And by the way, it's on, if you already pay for DAZN like Vinny and I do, it's free. They're not digging into your pockets more in the middle of a fucking recession. This Eddie Hearn. We're going to have him on the show.
Eddie Hearn owes us some explanation.
He does. That's son of a, that good looking son of a bitch.
Handsome
devil. God, he's dreamy. All right. We got an Aussie. He says, guys, writing you from Brisbane, Australia here. love your work. He says, the part is phenomenal. That's how they all talk to me.
This is awful. This fucking accent.
But I'm doing this on purpose because he shits on my accent in this.
Good. Good.
He makes it a separate sentence.
Good.
So I just should read the whole thing in an Australian accent. I might just
No.
Yeah, I'm gonna torture you all. All right, he says, I don't listen to a lot of them, but I give this a run. Oh, his name's Grant. Looks like Grant Reaper, Grim Reaper.
He doesn't listen to a lot of what? What are you talking about?
He doesn't listen to a lot of them. I'm assuming podcasts.
Oh, all right.
Yeah. And I'm typing while listening to this week's episode lead up to the fight in Melbourne on Sunday. Okay, so this was...
Yeah,
this was 2 weeks ago. All right. I know you don't like George, and he tends to talk with an irritating long preamble. Yeah, he's a massive douchebag, but he's an Aussie. So a lot of us are almost begrudgingly in his corner. I'm flying down. I'll be there. It'll be fun. Oh, cool. Hey, Grant, tell us how the atmosphere was. We'll read it.
Yeah, very interested in how it was in there.
I agree with you saying that Haney needs to pitch a shutout to win. If he gets in a firefight, he's done for. For me, Haney is a boxer, but I think there's questions on whether he's a fighter. That's interesting.
Yeah, it is.
So it's Kambosos for me this weekend. He's going to counter everything, whether it's intention or lack of speed reaction. There'll be questions about the result until he meets Loma, who embarrasses him, or a big puncher like Tank that doesn't lose his mind like Teo did. Anyway, I know you guys rate him, but despite him ever being on every pity's pound for pound list, do you think he still doesn't get the props he deserves? Looking forward to the fight with Denier, the first of the modern classic. And B, the accent was horrible, mate.
Yes.
Foster's Australian for beer. As far as Inoue, I think if you look on like Twitter, people shit on him. But as far as the publications and stuff like that, and writers and pundits, everyone's singing his praises. So, the fact
I realize how fucking arrogant this sounds, but people who know the deal know the deal.
Know the deal, right? All right. Well, thanks for writing, Grant, and please write us again, and let us know what the atmosphere was like. Well, you know, Vinny and I used to like to go to fights before this COVID. And
but in a massive stadium like that, you know, it's interesting to hear about that.
Sure. All right. The next letter is from Nick Powers. And what's up, Nick?
He says, Powers?
What's up, gentlemen? First time, long time listening to the show has brought me back into following boxing more closely than I have in recent years. So thank you for consistently great coverage and discussions about the sport. You're very welcome. I want to ask your opinions on the current streaming pound for pound model in boxing. DAZN recently changed from a monthly subscription that affords you the opportunity to see all fights on the platform to now requiring an additional pay-per-view purchase for big fights similar to UFC deal with ESPN Plus, while platforms like Showtime continue to broadcast pay-per-views as well. Do you see the availability of big fights becoming more convoluted as time goes on, while the streaming services continue to adapt? Will there be less pay-per-views offered outside of the household names like Canelo Fury? Also, do you think there may be a concerted effort to stack pay-per-view cards with multiple championship fights in order to draw more casual viewers into opening their wallets? Thanks again. Always looking forward to new episodes of KEOTB drops. Thanks, Nick.
Well, we talked about you and I believe that PBC is leaking oil. Rolly Romero, Tank Davis is a pay-per-view. The undercard was trash. And I talk a lot about the old Don King cards that were stacked, like Powers mentioned.
Right.
Where there would be a Julian Jackson on the undercard.
Right.
You might get Mike McCallum, Julian Jackson on an undercard.
On an undercard. Then. Right.
Now,
okay, so I'm going to quote Bob Arum a couple of years ago. He says, no one watches the undercards anyway. And Twitter caught fire when he said that. Social media caught fire. And Bob basically responded with, I don't care. You know what I mean? So the fans want a stacked undercard. The promoters feel they lose money with stacked undercards.
I don't know how wrong he is when you take into account of you and I talking about people we know that are casual fans. I'm not talking about maniacs like us.
Right.
If Canelo is fighting, people are like, I'll be over at 11.
Yeah, but if Canelo's fighting, only because the cultural shift has been shitty undercards. If Canelo's fighting, and let's hypothetically say you put a guy Canelo may fight next, like David Benavidez, someone, you know what I mean? And Vinny, as we know, like not everything starts at 11. So if you have the co-feature, the last undercard, that's really good. And so, you know, obviously people don't show up like bing, they're not there. Right. So they could watch a fight and then boom, the next time that guy's a headliner. I think I'm not saying stacking it like Don King, where Don King would have five championship fights. And then, you know, then we see the main event. What I'm saying is at least give us two or three, two, just give us two good fights. I don't know. Just seems counterproductive to me.
I don't disagree with you. I just don't see it happen.
I don't either. Because promoters have said as much. I think, honestly, great cards you're going to get. June 25th on DAZN. It's just not the most popular weight division, but you literally have a mix of champions.
Yeah, what do they say? It's not sexy. You know what I'm saying?
Champions and prospects against high-level competition beating the shit out of each other. You got three great fights. That being said, we now have DAZN doing pay-per-views with shitty undercards.
But then some weird shit happens where Joe Smith, Beterbiev, is a unification fight on ESPN for free.
Right.
So it's really, I can't tell you how people are moving.
Right. And we've seen Loma fight on ESPN. We've seen Bud fight championship fights on regular ESPN.
Yep.
I don't know how it works, like with ESPN's time buys or Top Rank's time buys on ESPN. If the deal with ESPN, they're obligated to give a certain number
A certain amount of hours of championship fights.
And these may be them. It's a good question to be determined. I don't think you should get your hopes up for great undercards on championship fights. I think boxing, I've said it on this show in the past, is similar to finding great music or film. You have to search for it. You know what I mean? You're going to get the Michael Bay style movies that are in the multiplexes, but you want to find, like, you know, an art house type film or a underground record or something like that. You're going to have to go and search for it.
I mean, what great fights were on PBC on Fox, you know?
Right. Only by mistake.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
And that's really the answer. Yo, can a war break out on one of these undercards with dudes you barely know? Right. Yeah, maybe.
Right.
And then you just get lucky.
Right. Like, yeah. I mean, Joe Smith's career post-2015 was because he knocked out Fanfara unexpectedly after he got wobbled himself and almost walked to the wrong corner. You know what I mean? And then boom, now Joe Smith starts getting booked. You could run into that stuff. Theater of the unexpected. All right. This is from Matt Nahara. What's up, Matt?
What up, Matt?
He says, what's up, guys? I loved everything from episode 32. Keep it coming. All the clowning had me rolling in the work truck. All right. I also work out of a truck, so I relate to that. Rolly Romero is a moron thinking he needs a rematch. Like Vinny saying, everything you do up to getting knocked out don't mean shit. Would love to see Shore get it in with Tank. Seeing that I'm from New Mexico, I'd love to know what y'all's take on our champ Johnny Tapia is. Peace from Albuquerque, New Mexico. Best podcast ever. Thanks, man.
Look, man, Johnny
Tapia. That's high praise. Thank you, buddy.
Johnny Tapia's life, the book, Mi Vida Loca, him in the ring, the fights of Paulie Ayala.
Yeah, unbelievable.
I can't imagine. That guy had an incredible career with murders and drug abuse and things like that. Imagine if he was able to keep it together. His career was incredible with all that shit.
Right. Imagine without it, and imagine if Tapia, the personality he had and who he was with social media, how big of a star he'd be.
I'd be massive.
He'd be massive.
Talking to the camera in the corner in between rounds and huge fights with real guys.
Right, right, right. He was incredible. He was incredible. I'd also love to see Shakur get it with Tank. No, Rolly Romero, I hope he goes away. I think we will see Rolly Romero two more times in two big fights because he can crack and because he's so delusional.
Ridiculous.
And he makes for good promos. I think Rolly will, they're going to start to use him as a stepping stone. And again, thanks for the high praise, man. All right. The next one is from Russ Bus. Russ has written him before. All right. He says, Vin and B, the sun shines a little brighter when the new KEOTB drops. Thanks, Russ.
Thank you, sir.
Listen to you guys discuss Tank Rolly's. He calls him Russ. He calls him Rollest Gump. Yeah, I don't pre-read these, so that's why it's like a surprise for me. He calls him Rollest Gump. That's great. Got me thinking a little bit. The fight was kind of sold on the fact that it's an absurd lopsided matchup. Marketing machine aside, I don't think anyone honestly believed Rolly had any kind of shot here. I agree. It looked to me as if you actually paid for this fight. You just wanted to watch Tank start this poor neuroscientist on live TV. It almost had a Tyson McNeely vibe to me. Yeah. These bloodthirsty fans don't want a good fight. They want to see a human Mack truck run over a human baby deer. So much so that it's the number 7 highest grossing pay-per-view boxing matchup of all time, which I guess, Tyson McNeely is. I think he's referencing Tyson McNeely.
Okay, hope so.
Yeah, my question for you guys is...
All signs point to Tank and Rolly shitting the bed, hence PBC not putting the numbers out, which I'm still trying to get.
Can you guys think of any boxing matchups that were absurdly lopsided yet marketable matchups? Not so much a Gotti-Gamanchi situation where you feel genuinely sad for watching it. Like the selling point of the fight is that it does absolutely nothing for boxing except generate money, knock a couple brain cells out of some lucky idiot's head. Canelo Khan, that comes to mind. I couldn't believe they made that fucking fight. Wilder Brazil, not so much because I think Dominic Brazil was like a contender or something. And I don't even know did Wilder have a belt yet?
I'm not sure if that was before or after he got this one.
Benavidez Lemieux, I shit it all over that. So that was, and it turned out to be super lopsided. What are some historic examples of horrendous matchmaking that transcended the sport in the realm of spectacle? I'm sure you guys know some goodies. Don't be afraid. I may have to come back to this.
Yeah, I would have to come back to it.
Don't be afraid to trash David Lemieux for the remainder of the show either. much love from Davenport.
Appreciate you, bro.
Yeah, thanks.
Yeah, I'd have to think about that. A really egregious fight to me. I mean it in the truest sense of the word. It's not hyperbole. Was Floyd's last fight, Andre Berto.
Yeah. That didn't make sense. There's no reason for it.
I found it to be embarrassing.
Danny Garcia, Rod Salco comes to mind. I don't know why they made that fight. I can't remember. I mean, Salco wasn't as bad as people made him out to be as far as rankings are concerned. But I think he was coming up from like 130 to 140, something like that. It was a bad matchup. That was brutal. Russ, you mentioned Canelo Khan. That was embarrassing. I don't know why Khan was coming off a layoff too, right?
Yeah. We'd have to put a note down to come up with crazy mismatches and then come up with them for next week.
Yeah, and I'm sorry that he wrote this on June 2nd too, so now it's like the 14th.
Yeah.
But anyway, thanks. Anyway, Russ. Niall Christie, he writes in, he says, "All right, guys, just wondering what your view is on Teo Lopez. Read an exchange you had with Jack Catterall last night on Twitter, but I think job one is to get shot of his old man before he gets anywhere close to his best again." I guess that means get rid of his old man.
That's what I'm assuming. Yeah.
Off his chump acting like a mascot in the corner in his last fight and had no idea how to mold his son into a better fighter, just use him for his own celebrity the way I see it. I also see it that way. His father is a cancer. Also, what's your guys' view on long layoffs after dodgy wins and losses? Getting a bit concerned with Josh Taylor's reaction. I'm going to take it that Niall is Scottish. Or at least
from the UK.
From the UK. Getting a bit concerned with Josh Taylor's reaction to his piss poor fight in February, giving up a belt to have his wedding and not really seen footage of him back in the gym and getting back at it after Catterall. Don't think long layoffs do anything for the mental and physical state post shit questionable performances. Keep up the good work, boys. Niall Christie. Hey, thanks, Niall. And we will.
Thanks, Niall.
I don't think anybody likes it. Taylor, I saw an exchange once with Taylor and Bud Crawford. There's a whole bunch of people there. Jean Pascal was standing there. I think.
Well, after he unified and he was basking in the hype, which was good.
Yeah.
He was like, no, I'm going to go up and fight Bud. But that died with that last performance.
That last fight. Yeah. So,
you know, a lot of people thought he lost.
Right.
You know, a lot.
I did.
Yeah.
Jack Catterall and Teo Lopez. Yeah, if they can make it great. I saw that Twitter exchange. It was actually they were cordial to one another. Lopez will never fire his old man. It's much like a battered woman or guy you know in a toxic relationship with a woman, keeps going back to her or stays with her or stays with him. She stays with him, he stays with her, whatever you want to call it. He's been conditioned that this is the way he's supposed to be treated. This is very deep. He's also, as Vinny mentioned before, and we don't say that as a joke, he's not well mentally.
That's pretty much when people ask us or write in, or we have to talk about him if a fight gets made, that's pretty much going to be my answer. And again, I'm not joking the way we do about Raleigh. I can't see someone that's unhinged making a fight, let alone winning one. I mean, how long has it been since the Kambosos fight? When was that fight? When was that loss?
Last October, November, something like that.
It was that recently? Okay. So, I mean, there's no fight in the future. So, by the time
what weight is he fighting at? He's moving up to 40. He's not fighting at 35.
He said the last time I physically saw him say something was like him saying he wants to fight Tank. Does that mean at 140? Because Tank has trouble making weight? I'm assuming so. You know, they don't want to run it back with Loma at all.
No, as far as I'm concerned, I've said it on this show, the best we've seen of him is past. It was a quick. I don't know if we see him at a high level successfully again.
I can see him having a comeback fight. You know what type of guys they put you in with.
Yep.
And losing.
Mm-hmm. All right.
I could see him coming in at 140 against an older guy with a name and losing. I'm picking a name out. I don't literally mean this. Victor Postol and losing that fight.
Right. I don't like long layoffs after, as you put it, a dodgy win. I don't know what's going to happen with Josh.
I don't like long layoffs unless something happened to you.
Right.
An injury, a loss in your life.
Right.
Something life altering. I see no reason or logic in it.
Right.
If you're a massive star like Canelo and you fight twice a year, you know, and even he fought three or four times in a calendar year. Once you get into the Floyd fighting every May and September, I think only bad things can come of it.
Right.
But I'm the type of guy that thinks you should fight four times a year. So call me, you know. Right.
Call you crazy.
Color me old fashioned. Yeah.
All right. Our guy Muggs writes in. He says, 33. he says, I'm sure you would have gotten into it within the episode by the time you get to this question, but how do you see Haney versus Loma, assuming that Loma is A, still alive, Lord willing, and B, still able to train knowing his country is at war? I believe he cooks Haney with relative ease. Also, thanks for pointing out the recent bias, I guess you would call it, of these so-called boxing fans. It's really disheartening to have conversations about the sport with people bandwagon quickly and often have super casual takes. I'm not a historian myself, but man. Yeah, recent bias and bandwagon fans. You got to deal with it, I guess, in every sport, especially boxing.
Yeah,
because it's an individual sport, not a team sport. It's usually non-regional. Except for me, I root for my hometown guys, and Vinny happens to have two great hometown guys currently that could be considered pound for pound. Lucky him. I don't know what Loma we get. So I don't either.
How many times have we been talking about a guy that's at war?
And he's old. Loma's old. Bottom line, he's old.
I wouldn't call him that. Bud's older than him, but he's getting there.
Well, Loma's old in that long amateur career.
I mean, 400 amateur fights. Right. Yeah, two Olympics. Yeah.
It's really, look, keep the number of amateur fights. And I don't mean you, Vinny. I mean, people in general. Do people know how fucking hard it is to fight in two different Olympics? Like, that's fucking insane. Guys, they're 4 years apart. So you train your whole life to get to the first one, and then you have to repeat that again to get to the next one and still make the weight. Anyway, I don't know. I don't know what happens with that. Let's see if it happens when they make that fight. I'll make my prediction.
There are too many intangibles that we have to. There's too much that needs to be ironed out, and then we'll talk about it.
Okay.
The Lomachenko of old has no problem with Devin Haney. The Lomachenko that fought most recently against Comey has no problem with Devin Haney.
Right.
A healthy Lomachenko that has been fighting recently has no problem with him.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't know what's going on. And when or if he's coming back. What if it's longer than we think? And then he's 35.
Right. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
All right. Next one. What the deal, Killer B, 38 long and and Pack Pistol Vin Diesel. This is great. And Pack Pistol Vin Diesel Enza. I like it. As promised, I'll Tyson Spinks this one and make it quick. Brendan, I must commend you on your real-time sudden spiel from the previous episode where you made a case for Fulton and immediately declared him as your favorite current boxer. I normally take time to mull over evaluations like that, but you were all in. I respect that. But just as I feel Tyson Fury is possibly best heavyweight today, I would still require him to fight a Usyk or Joshua or even Hellenius. Ugh, I don't know. For me to make that call. Side note, I personally feel the Nordic Nightmare is a dark horse at heavyweight would expound, but I'm trying to keep my promise to keep it short. All right. My predictions for this weekend's main event will be a stunning upset for the babyface assassin over Fulton. By the way, there's a follow-up to this email. Fulton's jab is on par with the best I've seen. Master boxer mover. Roman, I'm afraid, has better poise coming into the fight, whereas cool boy Steph seems to have lost his cool at the press conference. He admitted being hurt over anonymous opinions that he lost to Figueroa. He admits to coming into the fight with a chip on his shoulder, boxing is 75% mental, and it seems Roman is fit that front. Plus the kid's body work and ability to bait and switch. Punches a seamless, highly competitive match, potential fight of the year. I just hope Fulton cut that damn eyesore rat tail. If we love the rat tail.
No.
Keep the rat tail.
Yeah.
He's also taking Kambosos over Haney. So that's how old this is. Both shut drools are insufferable. Shut drools are insufferable. But Kambosos to a lesser degree. Plus the Aussie style is a bit more fan friendly, in my opinion. Haney looks like a carnival caricature come to life. His legs to torso ratio is silly. It looks exaggerated. The kid's head looks like we're to drop a sandbag. He'd go floating gingerly off into the sky.
Who is this that wrote in?
A.V. Julian.
A.V. Julian. That's two rough picks right there.
I'm not saying his head is too big for his body. I'm saying his head is too big for anyone's body. If Jason Momoa had Haney's head, it'd be too enormous. You can't convince me that Jim Henson did not sew this guy together.
Oh, this guy's cutting promos, man.
Sorry, I digress. Kambosos by close UD, 10-8 round inside the first two. You guys fucking rock. Peace. He follows this up 3 days later. Mm-hmm. Well, my predictions felt like a fat kid on a trampoline. Mm-hmm. I did not expect Kambosos to even attempt to box the dream. I assumed Haney's plan would be to dictate the tempo and finesse his way to victory, but not that Colin Farrell but not that Colin Farrell would make. I guess he's saying Kambosos looks like Colin Farrell would make it easy.
Yeah.
He never let himself out of the cage to take any risks and was an active accessory to make this match a snoozer. Haney, shown himself to be careful technician, avoided backing against the ropes, stayed behind a sharp, persistent jab whilst working steady circles around Kambosos. He also did a decent job at negating Kambosos' offense. I scored it 15-13 Haney. Whoa, that's too close.
Yeah.
I hear Fulton got busy as well, preventing yet another significant win for a Latino this year. Haven't seen the fashion at which he's done so, but I will in the morning. The man getting top tier live touches and smoking them one after the other. This man is on a mission. Logic tells me Akhmadeneliev is next in line. Do we suppose he gives Coolboy any problems at this rate? I'm inclined to say not many. And that's you, Jeff. Nobody gives him problems. Steph Fulton.
I want to know how this gentleman found five rounds to give.
I don't know. I'm not even going to entertain it. He will write in again. So
you I gave us. Him one because I felt bad for him.
Me too. So and I gave him one for one punch. Right. We got the next guy is Anthony Savino. He says, what up, guys? We hear about fighters you love or dislike all the time, past or present. Are there any guys who you dislike but grew to love, or vice versa? Guys you love but grew to dislike. Love the podcast. Keep doing what you do. Much love from Staten Island, Anthony Savino. Oh! He writes from Staten Island, so I give him the little. I hated Tyson Fury.
That's me too.
Then I liked him. Now I kind of dislike him again. So Tyson Fury does it all for me.
Fair, for me, the Fury stuff came when he started really being a
mental health advocate.
Mental health advocate is what changed it. You know what I mean? Not that I think that he is. You know, Joe Lewis, you know,
right.
I think everything that's happening is because it's insane to be 6'9", pushing 300 pounds to be able to have any type of movement, you know,
in recent history. And you're going to say, what? It's so crazy. I flip flopped on Floyd and Pacquiao.
Oh,
I really liked Pacquiao.
Okay? Uh-huh.
And I didn't like Floyd, right?
Uh-huh.
And because of Pacquiao's psychotically delusional, idiotic fucking fans and the disrespect Floyd as a boxer, not as a person. Because I'll say it right now, as far as I'm concerned, both guys are not great people. I can go into why, but I'm not, because I'm just going to answer the question. I'm speaking strictly in terms of boxing. And then, of course, because of this thing, this social media thing where we discuss boxing on, I became like a Pacquiao hater almost. Not a hate, like I wouldn't, like not a delusional hater, like I'd pick him to win fights I thought he was going to win, you know?
Yeah, but like
when people started to dissect Floyd's career and say like, I'm saying this goes back to like 2010.
Yeah, of course.
And saying like, oh, you know, when Pacquiao started that run after Oscar.
Yeah.
And I was like, David Diaz is garbage. You know what I mean? Oscar's old and sucked out. Like you guys, you know what I mean? Like, so that kind of thing. It made me like Floyd a lot better as a fighter. I always loved Floyd as a fighter. I didn't like him as a person. I didn't like him on the mic. And then Pacquiao's sort of like babe in the woods routine he would always do. Like, you know what I mean? Like in between fights just annoyed the fuck out of me. So, and that annoyance was magnified by his fans being like, Pacquiao could move up to fucking heavyweight. You know what I mean? And I was like, shut the fuck up. Mm-hmm. These are, you know, a lot of this stuff is carefully done matchmaking, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So most recent history, Anthony, was Floyd and Pacquiao. I became like a Floyd cheerleader almost to troll the delusional Pacquiao fans. Mm-hmm. And I would almost do the same thing to the Floyd delusional fans as well. But they were like less delusional and Floyd was like, I don't know, fucking dominating everybody up to like 54. So, you know, there wasn't much I could say to them. Yeah. When they would call him the greatest of all time, I would take a fucking greasy shit on him.
Yeah, that still, you know, makes my head want to explode. But then I know how little they know about boxing.
Exactly.
So it's there's a balance there because you're appalled, but then you're like, oh, you don't know boxing. So it's
right.
That I don't, I, then I calm down. You know what
right,
I mean?
Right, 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 right. What about you?
I've said before,
anybody you flip-flopped on?
Like everything verbatim that you said about Fury, but I told you why, because him being a mental health advocate, there's probably a lot, but like a question from before, I'd have to think about it.
Right. All right. So the next one is from Munir El Mirini. And he says, hey, fellas, it's Munir. How are you doing? We're doing good. Hope you're doing great. I just wanted to say, really enjoy you talking about Gotti Ward. That was some beautiful talk. I wish if you do an ep about that or some other great things that happened in boxing history. Next week, we have Arthur versus Smith Jr. I'm excited for that fight, and I'm looking forward to hearing your predictions. If you listen to this episode, you'll hear our predictions. My favorite fighter in boxing today just got knocked out, future Hall of Famer in two, and I really want to see him versus Cool Boy. That fight will be the best of this two beast. Okay. I think there's some language barrier stuff here.
Yeah, the best of these two beasts. Yeah, okay. I'm following them. Yeah.
All right. Thank you. Thank you for this podcast. You're doing a great job. Thank you. English isn't my first language in Morocco, Arabic, but I'm doing my best. Thank you. So, yeah,
nah,
you did
no
great.
No problem, man. We understood.
Yeah, you
did. No
yeah,
problem.
We understood. Thank you, buddy. I don't think we're going to see Danair in the ring again. But, hey, thanks for writing. And keep listening. Next one. We got a lot of letters this week. The next one is, I'm going to say, I think it's from Poland. His name's Pavel. Hi, guys. Hope all is well. First off, I just want to state that I absolutely love the podcast. Thank you. One of the absolute best boxing podcasts out there. I'm also a longtime JMT fan. So thanks for the years of the music, Vin.
Thank you, sir.
My late father was the one who introduced me to boxing, having immigrated from Poland to Toronto, Canada. Okay, so I was right. My earliest memories of boxing was watching Andrew Gullotta beat the shit out of Rick Bo twice, but shockingly getting disqualified twice from the Lobos. My question for you guys is, what was your reaction to the riot at MSG that took place between the Polish fans and both supporters? It's hilarious. And just how good could Gullotta have possibly been? I remember being massively shocked at the event that received all the media attention. Thank you guys and keep up the great work. Well, thank you for writing in, Pavel.
Can I talk about something that nobody talks about that fight?
What?
It was on a Thursday night.
Was it really?
HBO, yep.
Was there any particular reason why?
I don't know.
Okay, see, now I get a couple of things. I get that and Fan Man.
Confused?
So.
Well, it was the same crew of dudes that were wilding.
Right. Well, you say wilding. I say protecting their fighter. Okay. I say Brooklyning. That's some straight East New York Brownsville shit.
Yes, it is. Fan Man caught a fucking...
Was that the walkie-talkie? Was Fan Man?
Yes, Fan Man is the walkie-talkie. The big dude in the white.
Right.
Sweatsuit.
Which is the one where Jim Lampley, like mid fucking broadcast, like, well, my daughter's down there. I got to get her out of here.
That's,
is that Gullotta?
That's Bo Gullotta.
Okay.
And Big George is the reason Merchant and Jim aren't dead.
He fought people off, right?
No, son. He keeps saying, and he literally protected them. And it's just turned into all out war in that motherfucker. Yo, Gullotta was boxing so beautifully, doing everything. I'd never seen a white boy. That was like the first time I ever saw a white boy, you know, because you're talking 96, 97, with such fluidity.
Yeah.
And just busting Bo up, who was highly regarded at that point. I mean, Riddick Bo was a brilliant fighter.
Right.
Remember the rematch? Lou Duva had the fucking boxing trunks on the heavy bag.
Yeah.
Show him where the low blow was.
Yeah.
I mean, clearly there was a screw loose there.
A lot
of potential. He had the meltdown in the Tyson fight.
Right.
When Tyson busted him up.
Yeah, he's I don't think he's well now. I don't think life ended up too good for him.
Galata was fucking talented, if that's the question.
Yeah, he certainly
was. If you talk about head case shit and all that, hey, look, I can't. Lennox got him out of there in what, two rounds at Trump in DC? But there was, look, man, that guy that fought Riddick Bowe twice could have been special.
Right. Like, you know? It's funny that you mentioned George Foreman protecting the press. If you guys, I recommended it on the first show, but if you read Four Kings, they talk about the Marvin Hagler, Alan Minter.
Yeah, when they're throwing shit at him. Yeah.
Yeah. Vito Antuo Fermo apparently put in work protecting the broadcast team when they tried to attack the broadcast team. He just started laying guys out one shot at a time. Bang, bang, bang. Yeah, it's like legendary. George Kimball talks about it, that he just started fucking flattening people. Like,
nice.
They didn't realize Vito was a boxer. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He was really handsome back then, you know, and was probably 20 pounds heavier than when he fought at 60.
Right.
And they said that if it wasn't for Antuo Fermo, the broadcast team also would have been assaulted in the same vein that Foreman protected Lampley and Merchant. But
God forgive me for laughing, but I still crack up at them carrying out Lou Duva on a stretcher, and it tips over and he almost falls.
And he falls out.
Yeah. I mean, it's really, really worth watching.
Oh, it's like Three Stooges, right?
I have it on DVD, but ripped it from my VHS tape to DVD, which I did to a lot of my collection.
Right.
Fan Man, The Riot, they're all in the same. I put off all the fuckery on one DVD.
What's crazy about Fan Man is that they fought after that, like they continued, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
after
everything died down, like, towels on them,
and, yeah, like, yeah, let's get it, because it was an outside fight. It was cold.
Yeah, it was in Vegas outside.
Yeah, and it was cold in the desert.
Yeah.
The last letter is again from AV Julian. AV Julian hits the hat trick for this week's episode, and so he starts off, because you know he's got heat. This guy AV Julian cuts a promo. Mm-hmm. So he says, Edgar the Bogus One Berlaga was gifted an unjustifiable wide UD over Romero Angulo, who clearly deserved the victory. He earned that fight. As Teddy Atlas would say, those cards were decided before the fight even began. I agree. The Bogus One was getting battered by a series of body blows, uppercuts, and left hooks. When his rickety bicycle failed to keep him safe from the line of fire, he clinched and bit Angulo in the seventh. Clear grounds for a DQ. Okay, why is that not an automatic DQ? Meaning, everybody knows he bit him.
Are you asking that, or is Julian?
I am. Me. I'm saying.
I don't know. I mean, when Galata bit Samson, remember Samson Poor?
Yeah. Yeah.
On Tuesday night fights?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He bit him. Danny Garcia shoulder. Got bit recently.
I don't know why. I don't. At minimum, 2-point deduction?
No, like, I think once you decide to take it there, in my opinion, and I want some, if anybody could write me in, write into us and tell us, keotpboxing@gmail.com, why that's not just a fucking DQ. And I've heard broadcast people on the broadcast be like, why is this not a DQ? How is this not a DQ?
I'm agreeing with you.
Yeah,
but
I know
you're saying worst case 2 points. There's nothing was done is what I'm getting at. Nothing.
Yeah. Okay. So at the close of the 10th and final round, rather than commending his brother in the ring, he verbally assaults him, headbutts him, and attempts to chase after him. Another blatant display of childish and sportsmanlike behavior. Two judges saw it 99-91, the other at 98-92 for Berlanga. Personally, at 97-93 for Angulo. Well, I hate to say this, AV Julian, but your scorecards, we would have suspended you for the Kambosos Haney scorecards.
We would have.
We would have had to inspect the cards. I do think you got this right. I'm really hoping the results were put in a review and overturned. I also hope Miguel Cotto takes back that award. Berlanga basically committed murder in broad daylight with witnesses in every corner of the perimeter. Not only did he get off scot-free, but was rewarded for the inconvenience the trial may have caused him. There is so much to be said about that fight. If its results and reactions from Berlanga's supporters, all of it absurd, utter disgrace, downright unacceptable. What are the odds they overturn this bullshit and hold these judges account? They won't overturn it.
No, zero.
Don't hold your breath. Zero chance.
I want to say this, Julian. What I'm most disappointed in is how few people are talking about what you're talking about.
Yeah.
It wasn't like boxing Twitter was lit up with, you know, those scorecards are wonky at best.
I think when it's like Julian mentioned, you know, to quote Teddy Atlas, the scorecards were filled out ahead of time. Everybody knew it was a foregone conclusion. Most people are content with shitting on Berlanga and saying they don't want to see him anymore.
Yeah, yeah, fair enough. But the biting scorecard,
the headbutting after. I mean,
Did you see his attempt at an apology?
No.
I've never had this happen where someone apologizes and I dislike them more.
More. Oh, was it like, I'm sorry, but like kind one of those things? What'd he say? The guy was throwing elbows and I almost had the Mike Tyson him. Is that what you're talking about?
He said like he made light of it by saying like, I'm sorry for the Mike Tyson move or.
Yeah,
I'm like, trying to find it as quickly as I can.
Yeah, like,
bro, get out of here. But it was, I certainly didn't say like, oh, okay, this is all right. Here, I got it. I want to apologize for my actions and what I said yesterday about the Mike Tyson bite. I was in the moment and got a little ahead of myself. It doesn't take away from the embarrassment that I have caused upon myself, my team, top ranks, and many others. I reacted poorly and take full responsibility. Moving forward, I am going to be more mindful and encouraging in my behavior. Once again, I do apologize. Not only is it an awful apology, but he didn't write that because the kid doesn't talk that way. I'm just telling you, he doesn't.
Yeah, yeah,
that's
right.
Not how we speak.
No, I was just gonna say that. Like, oh yeah, I'm sure Berlanga wrote that.
Yeah, he's a nitwit.
Yo, man.
I don't want to see him again. I don't want to see some sort of, if not a suspension, a fine.
I'd like to see both. Tell you the truth.
I don't know why it's going
unnoticed.
Yeah, it's crazy.
I agree. It is crazy. It is crazy. All right, that's it.
Yeah, lots of fights coming up. So
yeah. So listen, guys. Do your thing on our streaming platforms. You know, follow us, like it, review.
Yeah, subscribe, review. That's important for some reason.
Yeah, I don't know why it is.
Yeah, but it is. It definitely is when you look into it.
Yeah, but you guys write us at keotbboxing@gmail.com. keotbboxing@gmail.com. Enjoy the fights this weekend. And you can find me at I_no_that_kid on Instagram and at @thekillerb24 on Twitter. Vinny?
I'm at @boxcutterpazzy on Instagram. I'm at @Vinny_Paz on Twitter. We just did a bunch of new merch drops on jmtstore.com, if that's your thing. You can check that out.
Check that out, guys.
All right. We'll see y'all soon.
All right. Peace, peace.
Peace. Knock him out the box. Knock him out the box, pass. Knock him out. Knock him out the box.